Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
They sure are, Big Voice Guy, and I'm with you right up until Mullion Haw on a 911 Plumbers 911 Football Monday. Those guys are joined by Brad Biggs at 640, Olin Cruz at 7, DJ Moore at 8. Bernstein and Harris are joined by Anthony Heron at 11, Mark Schlereth at 12, and Dan Wiederer at 1. And then Kurt Warner joins Spiegel and Holmes at 3, Mark Rohde at 4, and Jalen Johnson at 5. And TJ Edwards will join Bernstein and Harris Tuesday at noon. All that on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday and beyond, presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. As you heard Big Voice Guy say, I am Rami Makhlouf. Tyler Farringall on the other side of the glass. Dan Durbin, he won an auction for the in the Cubs for a Cure auction to sit in that co-host chair and doing an admirable job at it. And you can get in on the show as well at 312-644-6767. You said you're having fun. You said you have no idea how much fun you're having right now,
I'm having a great time. I have a mental image of what goes on at the Score after listening for 30 years, and it exceeds my expectations.
It's pretty cool, right?
It's pretty cool
sitting in this studio doing this show, even after a loss like the one that the Bears suffered today at the hands of the Commanders on a Hail Mary. 18-15, the final, after the Bears come out, much like they have most of the season offensively, and that's to say slow, and that's to say without any punch to start the game. 36 yards in the first half. Somehow they stayed in it, though, and they were in it till the end, took a lead in the final minute of the game just to have Jaden Daniels run around for 13 seconds and then loft one up that somehow landed in the hands of one of his receivers and took the air right out of my lungs and out of the lungs of Bears fans everywhere watching their team fall to 18-15. I've thrown a couple of tough questions at Bears fans tonight. You can talk about the game or you could answer one of these questions. First, tell me how this is better offensively than what we saw with Nagy and Trubisky or what we saw with Getsy and Fields. Second question that's kind of tough and maybe makes you take stock as a Bears fan of where they're at compared to where they should be. When do we start passing teams in this division? When and how do the Bears start passing teams in this division? If you want to get in on either of those conversations or just talk about the loss tonight, you can get in 312-644-6767. But we were talking earlier, Dan, about free agent moves, the roster building that Ryan Poles has done, and the reviews almost across the board when you talk about the roster building that Ryan Poles have done have been glowing, have been positive in terms of what he got, what he had when he got here, what he's done with the roster since, the salary cap hell that he took him out of, the trade, giving up the number one pick that ended up being Bryce Young for Caleb Williams and a slew of players that are contributing to this football team right now. But I don't think what's here necessarily tells the whole story of the job that Ryan Poles has done. And a lot of it is undeniably good. You know what I mean? When you look at some of the signings, a lot of it is undeniably good. But I'll start with a few guys that were here that were young enough to still be part of this thing and are still being very productive for other teams elsewhere, like Roquan Smith, like Darnell Mooney, like somebody brought up another player earlier who is being productive for another football team when the Bears couldn't figure it out here. They texted it to me. I'll find that in justice. Oh, it was Montgomery. David Montgomery. With the Detroit Lions. So we can start there in terms of decisions that Ryan Poles has made that we could question. But beyond that, I know DeAndre Swift has been real good for the Bears. For the last 4 weeks, DeAndre Swift has been real good after a real slow start. But I do think that you have to look at the market that DeAndre Swift was acquired on and look at what guys are doing now and say, for as good as DeAndre Swift is, would you rather have an Aaron Jones? Would you rather have a Derrick Henry? Would you rather have a Joe Mixon? Would you rather have a Josh Jacobs? Would you rather have a Saquon Barkley? Because All of those guys. And there was a really good article in The Athletic about just this, about running backs and the contracts that they got and the production that they've brought to their new teams. All of those guys have made more of a difference in terms of when you look at yards from scrimmage per game for running backs from last year to this year. The Ravens are getting 41 more yards from their running back than they did last year. The Vikings are getting 39 more yards from their running back than they did last year. The Eagles, plus 34. The Texans, plus 37. The Packers, plus 19. The Bears, minus 0.4. They're getting less production from their from the running back position after getting DeAndre Swift than what they were getting last year. And those five teams I just listed off, they were the teams that signed Saquon, Jacobs, Mixon, Henry, and Jones. All those guys more productive than DeAndre Swift to this point in the season.
Yeah, where I want to start is we were told not that long ago that the Bears had like unlimited amounts of money and salary cap and all that sort of stuff. So I guess I was a little surprised, particularly with Saquon Barkley and Derrick Henry, that we didn't make some move. Or are we now in a salary situation where we couldn't afford them? I don't know.
No, the cap space is still there.
That's what I thought.
The cap space is 100% still there. And when it comes to a Mixon or an Aaron Jones, I think those guys need, especially at this stage, and they're both getting up there in years, those are guys that they need to be in the right situation, I think, to succeed.
Right.
But when you look at Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs, and Derrick Henry, those are guys that for in a league where running backs are becoming less and less important, or at least before this year, the arrow might be pointing up again on the importance of running backs. But those three guys specifically are exceptions to that rule. Mm-hmm. In terms of how important running backs can be to an offense. Because those three guys, Saquon, Jacobs, and Derrick Henry, offenses have to game plan for. Offenses have to come into a week, have to come into a game and go, okay, what do we do about that guy? And if you had that on your offense right now, that frees things up for DJ Moore. That frees things up for Keenan Allen. That frees things up for Cole Kmet. The field opens up a little bit when defenses say, okay, we have to focus on stopping that guy in the backfield. And all of that makes things much easier for the rookie quarterback in Caleb Williams. For as good as DeAndre Swift has been, it could be better, is what I'm saying.
Right. In fact, when you mentioned Derrick Henry, Josh Jacobs, Saquon Barkley, how would you grade their offensive lines with our offensive line? And I'm trying to be as objective as possible. Do you think it's that we weren't ready for them, or is it that the other lines were so good that was the missing piece for the other teams?
No, I think those teams have better offensive lines than what the Bears do, but also good players, the domino effect, the butterfly effect of good players and how they make players around them better is also at play here. Yeah. Those offensive lines look better because Derrick Henry lines up behind them, because Josh Jacobs lines up behind them, because Saquon Barkley lines up behind them. You know what I mean? Like that, all that stuff affects everything else around them. And again, you can't be that disappointed with the DeAndre Swift signing based on what we've seen the last four games. But I'm always looking and going, well, okay, that's even things that are good and things that are working. I look at it and go, okay, but how could that be better? I never want to settle and go, well, it's good, I'll just be happy with good. How could that be, or how could that have been better? And honestly, any one of those guys that I just listed off probably having more of an impact for this Bears team right now than even DeAndre Swift has had.
That really opened my eyes Tyler, I think the word is all over every show in the score, but they're talking about the multiplier effect. You know, that, okay, yeah, yes, you do what you do, but look what it does to everybody else, because they talk about, you know, Sweat that way. And I didn't think about it in terms of a running back, and that's actually a good point.
Tyler literally put his head in his hands when I was going over the change in yards from scrimmage from running backs from this year to this year. When I said Baltimore at 41, Minnesota 39, Philadelphia 34, Houston 33, Green Bay 19, and then the Bears at minus 0.4. Tyler literally put his head in his hands when I said
I literally
that.
Just like felt... My head just fell back.
And here's the...
I couldn't take it.
Here's the wild thing about that. Most of those teams like, okay, Baltimore didn't really have a running back.
No.
Minnesota had a running back. Philadelphia had a running back.
Right.
Houston. Green Bay had a running back. Like, some of these guys changed teams, went from one of the teams I'm talking about to one of the other teams.
Yeah,
that
musical chairs.
They had better running backs than the Bears did last year and still have a greater improvement over that running back from last year than what the Bears do. And the Bears didn't even have a... It was Khalil Herbert and Roshan Johnson sharing the job last year. They didn't even have a running back last year, and they haven't done a lot to improve on that. I'll get to another position where the Bears maybe could have done better here in just a second, but do want to take your calls at 312-644-6767. You can also text that number as well. Joe from Richmond dialed that. Now he's on 670 The Score. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Rami,
hey.
Great show.
Thank you, sir.
This might be the first time I've listened to you. Really good show.
Thank you.
And I just want to say kudos to you that you're the only guy I heard mention anything about the down-and-out pass before the Hail Mary, that nobody covered those wide receivers, and had they jammed them to the inside of the field, it might have been game over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you force them to the middle of the field, even if they complete it, they have to get to the line and spike it in time to run another play.
And in the Hail Mary, with the three rushers, number 53 is just dancing around 7 yards off the line of scrimmage. Who are you waiting to cover? And why? What are you waiting for the quarterback to run? Give me a break.
Yeah, he wasn't going to make a run for it. Yeah, he was 100% not going to make a run for it. Yeah, thanks for the call. And, appreciate it, Joe. Yeah. Oh, you got one more point?
Ronnie?
Yeah, go ahead. Make one more.
Yeah, you're right. He might be a nice guy. I'm sure he's a great family man, all that. But Eberflus has got to go.
Yeah.
We need an offensive coach.
Yeah, we just need a better head coach. Mm-hmm. Like, I would prefer an offensive-minded head coach, but we just need a better head coach who doesn't let some of the stuff that we've seen happen. And just this season, I can go over a list of things that fall directly on the shoulders of a head coach. You got something over there, Tyler?
Yeah, that kind of sparked my memory there. Are you kind of attributing that to maybe Matt Eberflus spending too much time with the offense during Hard Knocks? I mean, maybe you got to put it into the equation at least a little bit.
A lot of this stuff is just awareness from the sideline. Remember against Indianapolis when they scored the touchdown and then had to call a timeout to get the two-point team out there?
He contradicted himself like instantly.
Dude, that is... You have to be in the headset while you're making that drive and before the play that scores the touchdown and going, all right, if we get six here, we're going for two. That's not something that you start discussing and scrambling to figure out after you scored the touchdown. That's basic head coach stuff right there, man. You know what I mean? Or, there was a play on the goal line. Oh yeah, it was against Indianapolis when they line up for that terrible play call on fourth and goal of the read option, the sprint option to the outside. And Cam Newton, they played this on Spiegel and Holmes. Cam Newton had a great breakdown of it. He said before the play, he could look at that, see where their edge rusher was, look where the offensive tackle was, Braxton Jones in this case, and go, this isn't going to work. You call a timeout before that ball is even snapped. That's something a head coach has to be on the sidelines seeing, recognizing, and going, wait, this isn't going to work. Timeout. And they had a timeout to do it there. There's a laundry list of challenges that he should or should not have made that he made. He just tonight watching Tariq Stevenson hop around and celebrate and jaw with Commanders fans before the ball is snapped on the Hail Mary. He has to see that and go, wait, time out. What are you doing? Get your head in the game. You know what I mean? You're going to blow your assignment. These are things that a coach just has to have the awareness to recognize and do something about from the sideline. He needs to be a better game day head coach. That's why I'm not going to give him the excuse of,
well, he's good at defense, and the defense is good. Well, the offense isn't his fault.
He's a head coach. He's an NFL head coach. His job, his task, is to stand on that sideline, watch the game, and react the best he can as quickly as he can. And he misses it way, way too much.
Yeah, both of us have now focused, I don't know how many times, on the word awareness. And it's not that he spends too much time with the offense at Hard Knocks. It's just that even in his post-game interview, three examples where he actually told us he was not aware of three different things. That's his problem as a head coach. He's literally not aware about when he needs to do certain things. That's his big failure.
They got the ball. Hold on one sec. I just want to make sure I got this right. Mm-hmm. On the last drive, they get the ball at the 38-yard line. They get the ball at their own 38-yard line, Washington does. And he tells us there they don't take away the sidelines because you're defending touchdown. You thought he was going to throw you're on the 38, you're on the 32, you're on your own, excuse me, you're on your own 38-yard line. He's going to drop back 6 to 8 yards.
Yeah.
You're telling me you were defending a 75 to 80-yard Hail Mary? Instead of taking away the sidelines so that they can't get a Hail Mary on the next play? When I'm sitting on my couch and going, you just got to take away the sideline here. Tony Romo is saying what they're doing here is they're going to try to get to the sideline to get up to get enough yards to set up the Hail Mary. You can't throw a Hail Mary from there. Jaden Daniels, I'm sure, has a terrific arm. He's not throwing a 75 to 80-yard Hail Mary there. You're not defending touchdown. You're defending sideline, and you're trying to keep them in the middle of the field. That's what you're doing there if you recognize and understand the game situation. He misses the boat way too much on these situational decisions. Way, way too much.
And the fact he had 13 seconds, which is mind-boggling, 13 seconds on the Hail Mary pass, is that not the indictment already of how many rush or having that spy who was how many yards off? So it's like, to me, you have to say you didn't have enough people rushing. 13 seconds.
Text from the 847, Bears looked horrible today, unprepared, Eberflus needs to go. Unprepared is a word that's come up a lot tonight, and it's accurate, and there's literally zero excuse to be unprepared coming off a bye week. None whatsoever. There's no reason for you to be as unprepared and undisciplined as you were coming out of a bye week.
Like, and that's the other thing too. Like, maybe, okay, some plays I guess we can credit Washington, but it didn't really feel like their defense was having a major impact on the game. I just felt like it was more so the Bears just being inexplicably dumb.
Yeah.
They just were not executing at that high level. Great. Washington's defense maybe made a couple plays here and there, but it just felt like it was way more Bears just being the same old Bears that we've known for how many years?
Undisciplined, dumb, sloppy,
yes.
Lackadaisical, unprepared.
Where's that all of the above option?
All five of those words describe the Bears coming out of a bye week.
Yes.
And those are five adjectives. Like, for whatever else goes wrong on an NFL Sunday, those are five adjectives I shouldn't be able to use about your football team coming out of a bye week. Like, that's, and here's another word I've used a lot tonight, inexcusable. Inexcusable. A lot of what we saw out there on the football field tonight was inexcusable and keeps coming back to the head coach.
Who's the coach out there? I think it's Andy Reid, but who's the coach out there who is something like 12-1 coming out of the bye week?
I think you're right. I think it is Andy Reid. Yeah.
It's amazing.
It has to be. It has to be Andy Reid.
Text here from the 6-3 on a Hail Mary. You knock the ball down. You don't try to catch it. You knock the ball down to the ground or knock it away. Also, you do not send three people to rush the quarterback on a hill. Try to do a Hail Mary. You rush more than three people. You don't want to give Daniels time to dance back there to set up a Hail Mary play in the first place. Yeah, that's the thing is like not the time that he bought is what allowed all those guys to get in the position that they got in. Again, that is basically a basketball tip-off drill that they do on a Hail Mary. There's three, four guys, receivers, that are lined up along the front line, and they're trying to get a hand on the ball and tip it back behind them for the guy that's waiting back there to catch it. That's how that play is designed. And when you rush three and give him an eternity to do that, you're giving those guys time to run down there and get in position and set up exactly what we saw. And meanwhile, while those guys are getting in position, your guys are not getting in position. And might have been Tariq Stevenson who was celebrating before the game was over and drawing with Commanders fans. I'm not sure if I read this earlier. I do want to make sure that I put it out there. In fairness to Tariq Stevenson, he did apologize earlier tonight. He put this out. He said, let me just make sure I got it. He says, I'm getting this from a text and I opened up the wrong text. He said, to Chicago and teammates, my apologies for the lack of awareness and focus. The game ain't over until zeros hit the clock. Can't take anything for granted. Notes taken. Improvement will happen. Hashtag bear down. So he's owning it. And I almost assume based on that, that he's admitting he was the guy who was supposed to be back there to knock that thing down. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like maybe he's just apologizing because he knows it's a bad look and he shouldn't have been celebrating or jawing with Commanders fans before the ball was snapped. But I don't think he's issuing that apology unless he feels like he's kind of the reason that they lost or kind of the reason that ball was caught, if not single-handedly the reason why they lost. He's saying, look, I wasn't where I should have been, and it's because I didn't play to the zeros.
And I admire that. I really do. I think it had more to do with the fact that a fan caught him on video that he had to apologize. But I do think it is an indication that maybe he was the guy supposed to be all the way in the back.
Right, because somebody was supposed to be back there. Matt Eberflus said, we don't know. We got to go and look at it. I don't know if that's Matt Eberflus just protecting his guy and not throwing Tariq Stevenson under the bus or whoever it was that was supposed to be back there. But again, it sort of indicates that it should have been him.
I understand the gesture of apologizing. Obviously, you like to see that. But again, he's underwhelmed me this season. He's been picked on by opposing offenses all year long. And until his play gets up, that's when I'll take this apology into, you know, I'll put more stock into it.
And not just that, the personal foul earlier in the game.
100%.
Of getting into it with Commanders players.
The finger in the eye.
With the referees. The finger in the eye of the second guy who came over to you when the referees had to break it up between you and the first guy and are standing right there.
You want to repeat those five words again, Rami?
That's
exactly what that situation was.
Let me see if I can remember them. Unprepared, lackadaisical, sloppy.
Undisciplined.
Undisciplined. And there is one more.
Inexcusable.
Inexcusable. There it is. That describes the Bears and an 18-15 loss on a Hail Mary to the Commanders on national TV yesterday. Get your thoughts off your chest about it. 312-644-6767. We will hear from the Commanders' side of that unlikely win for them, loss for the Bears, and we'll take more of your calls in just a few minutes. I'm Rami Makhlouf. It's Bears Overnight. It's part of a Plumbers 911 Football Monday here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. I got Tyler Farengel on the other side of the glass, winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in the co-host chair, Dan Durbin, with me as well. And we'll hear more from you guys right after this on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score.
Let's get back to Plumbers 911 Football Monday with Rami Makhlouf on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app. Plumbers 911 Football Mondays are presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and by Busey Bank.
That's me with you for another 90 minutes or so talking about the Bears and a heartbreaking loss to the Commanders 18-15. On a Hail Mary after some familiar problems for this Bears team, specifically this Bears offense. Slow starts, ineffective, bad play calls. The O-line wasn't great, but we do have to factor in and give them the benefit that there were some injuries they were dealing with throughout the game and sort of trying to figure that thing out. But a lot of this comes back to Matt Eberflus, the head coach. That's sort of been the theme of this show as it's played out, that a lot of this stuff coming out the way that they came out off of a bye week comes back to your head coach. And for the third time, I am out on Matt Eberflus. Mid-season last year, the off-season, and now again this season, I am out on Matt Eberflus as the head coach of the Chicago Bears, who's going to get him where we want to see him get.
But for the, like, fifth time on this show, probably.
Yes.
You're on Matty.
Yeah, probably. 312-644-6767. I asked a couple of questions earlier in the show. One, tell me how this offense is better than ones we've seen recently, whether it be Nagy, Trubisky, or Fields and Getsy. How is it better? I got a texter who attempted to answer that question. I'll read that in just a second. And when and how do the Bears pass teams in this division, in the NFC North? Like, crack that code for me, because I don't see it on the horizon. 312-644-6767. Or if you just want to talk about the game and get that off your chest, do that as well. I got Dan Durbin, winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction, to sit in the co-host chair along with me this morning, doing a great job so far. You got another 90 minutes in you, Dan?
At least 90.
All right, good. I like to hear that. Let's get out to the phones. And Andrew from Ohio, you're on 670 The Score. What do you got, Andrew?
I mean, what's going on with Tyreek Stevenson? I mean, you could say the whole game was sloppy. Yeah, I mean, blame the O-line, blame Caleb, still a rookie, whatever you want. But the fact of the matter is, we're called the Monsters of the Midway, and he's over here talking trash before the ball's even thrown. And then, because he gets caught with his pants down, basically, he tries to run over and be a hero, and no one's defending the guy in the back of the end zone. I mean, this is common football. This is nothing new. It's not like the Hail Mary is some new play they developed, and we just got fooled by it. He tried to run over and be a hero, and he cost the game. And this is not the first time he's been burned. And, yeah, you could say teams are picking on him and whatever, but the fact of the matter is, you're going to talk the trash, be able to back it up. And he's not. Again.
And I appreciate the call. I think he was about to swear. Thanks for the call, Andrew. I get it, man. And to be talked, to have your back to the play and talking trash. You know, that's the crazy thing. Like, it's not like, okay, if you line up at the line of scrimmage and you're talking trash to the wide receiver in front of you, like, I get that, but you have your back to the play, and you're talking to people. You're looking at people up in the stands and talking to them until the ball is snapped, and then you scramble and run over there, maybe to the spot you were supposed to be in, maybe not, because somebody was not in the spot they were supposed to be in for that guy to be as wide open as he was standing behind the tip line. Like, it's a really, really bad play, and honestly, just a bad night for Tariq Stevenson. I'm not out on Tariq Stevenson the way I am on Matt Eberflus, but that was a really, really bad night for that dude.
Yeah, just to personalize this, all my family's in Washington, D.C., and of course I get the group text later on cheering, and then a follow-up where it says, oh, this makes it sweeter, and it was the video of Stevenson having fun with the
dude,
fans. That hurt.
Like, play that play and then go talk all the trash you want. Run up into the stands and, okay, don't do that. Then we're going to have, like, a Malice at the Palace type of situation. Don't do that, but go and talk all the trash. You point a finger in their face and do whatever you want, but there's one more play, man. There's one more play for you to stay in the game. Yeah. A couple of texts I wanted to read. This one from the 630. Eberflus rarely shows any emotion and has zero fire in the belly. Could you imagine if Ditka or Wani was the coach after a loss like that one? I don't even need that. Like, a lot of these coaches I want, they don't even do, like, Sean McVay doesn't do that. The guys who we talked about who were hired the same year as Matt Eberflus, Kevin O'Connell, very cool-headed, very calm and collected. Kevin, Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins head coach, he's not a guy who goes off like that. Like, I don't need that. I need you to just be a better coach. I don't need you to show any different emotion than what you're showing. I just need you to make better decisions on the sideline. And I went through some of those types of decisions that he struggles with in the last segment. That's all I need him to be better at. That's it. Mm-hmm. I don't need him to be a different person, to be more emotional. I don't need any of that. Here's the text. I asked a question about how is this a better offense than what we've seen here recently. From the 217, starts the text off saying there's no talent in a Hail Mary. It's literally named after a prayer. That's complete luck. That said, there's plenty of things to be disappointed in. He says the fourth down play to DJ was terrible. The goal line fumble when you're handing off to an offensive guard is terrible. But saying the team is no better than Trubisky, Nagy, Fields, Getsy is hyperbole. The Bears have a legitimate QB prospect. They have game-changing wide receiver, tight end, running back with DJ, Adunze, Allen, Komet, and Swift. Football starts on the line, and until they shore up the offensive line, they'll continue to have putrid offensive halves like today. So I think what he's saying is this is better because on paper, Caleb Williams, better prospect than a Fields or a Trubisky. On paper, better talent around the quarterback than what we saw with a Fields or a Trubisky. Seems like he's saying because you don't have an offensive line, you can't do what you should be able to do with those guys. And whether that's the problem or not, or whether Shane Waldron is the problem or not, what I'm saying to you from the 217 is, while you can sit here and tell me Caleb is a better prospect, they have better players at the skill positions, tangible things that I can look at or hold on to, I saw a team go out there today and get 33 yards and a half of football.
And dear 217, I said almost the same words you said on the first hour of this show. And I think the response was potential and prospects don't cut it in the third year of Eberflus.
That's not going to help me sleep tonight, this morning, whenever it is that I'll get home. That ain't going to help me sleep going, oh, this looks like it could be better. Let me just put my head down on my pillow and get a peaceful night's sleep because it looks better on paper. No, man. They had 36 yards through three quarters. Caleb Williams did. 36 yards through three quarters of football. And you can't score in the first quarter for the life of you this season. I understand on paper it looks better than what it has in the past. Tell me how it is better. Give me something to hold on to. Give me something tangible where I can look at it and go, yeah, that's better. It's not. It's not. To the phones, 312-644-6767. Bernie from Northwest Indiana. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Bern?
Hey, how you doing, man? What's going on?
I've been better, but, you know, I'm hosting on The Score, so that's pretty cool, too.
You know, I'll tell you what. I don't know whether Matt Eberflus is any good a coach or Luke Getsy's any good coach, but, you know, it's the players that play, okay? And outside of the defense played good. The offense, those players didn't play, okay? They played like crap. I mean, let's face facts, you know? I mean, Caleb Williams played like crap. And before 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you know, there was no offense, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, and then, you know, the refs made that game a game because they took two touchdowns away from Washington, okay, when the two fat guys were just standing there not doing anything. I mean, if you look at the replays, I'm saying, you know, what are they even giving these guys penalties for, you know? I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, they didn't. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. They didn't block anybody, but you're still an illegal blocker downfield. Like, they just ran. There was nobody to block, but they were downfield, and because of the number that they wear, they're not eligible to be downfield unless they report as eligible to be downfield. So that's why they got the penalties. But look, man, all right. So I just went through how it's supposed to look better on paper, but it's not. Mm-hmm. And then the caller says, well, yeah, but the players play. So is it that the players go out there and they're just not good enough, or is it that the players are going out there unprepared and don't have the greatest game plan to go into the game with? It has, or some combination thereof, but it has to be something there. You know what I mean? Like, we can't just keep on dancing around this thing and being like, well, yeah, but the players play, but the jury's still out on Eberflus as a coach. Like, at some point we need to start, like, we need to start taking stock of what the problems really are with this football team and with this organization. We can't just, every time I touch on something, pass the buck to something else. There is something wrong here. You know what I mean? Like, and Bears fans keep approaching it like we can just do ring around the rosy with the blame for this thing or what's wrong with this thing. And no, man, no, we need to pinpoint what is wrong with the Bears and why they're not as far along as they should be.
I know players play, but players don't call plays. They don't do the game plan. Okay. And so from that standpoint, I have to say it still gets back to decisions made by coaching during the week and during the game. because we have really good players. I think we have better players we've had in years. So I'm not going to crap too much on to the players.
You know, the Bears haven't been the first team to score this season. They haven't been the first team to score in a game yet. In 5 of their 7 games, they haven't been the first team to score. That there's something systemic there. Like there's a reason for that. That's not just the players going out there and not executing week after week after week. There's something foundational and systemic when you have a problem like that consistently throughout the season. You know what I mean? That's not just something that just happens. That's just fluky and just happens. Let's go back to the phones, and then we'll hear from some of the players on the Washington side of this thing, how they felt about that Hail Mary as it all played out. Let's go to Wayne from Wisconsin. You're on 670 The Score. What's up, Wayno?
Hey, good morning-ish, fellas.
Yes.
I am not convinced Eberflus is the guy yet. And, I mean, you're down, about to take the lead for the first time in the game, and you give the ball to the offensive lineman. Now, did anybody talk about the fact that – I just tuned in. But did anybody talk about the fact that every offensive lineman was hurt at that point?
Yes. I don't know. We talked about the injuries to the offensive line. I don't know that we put two and two together in terms of that play and how that would impact that play.
Yeah, you're putting another guy who we need, essentially, in harm's way to seal a lead for the first time in a game that is completely just Bush League stuff.
Yeah.
So for me, Eberflus, not the guy. The one positive that I take away from that game is we've all seen Justin Fields. We've all seen Mitchell Trubisky. We've all seen insert quarterback here. They get behind, and then they think they need to do too much, and then they snowball it. They turn the ball over, and we're out of the game by the second quarter. Now, Caleb Williams proved last night that he has that dog in him to be able to keep his composure, to maintain the faith that, like, we can still do this, and to march down the field twice when they needed him. Now, that's the biggest part. When they needed him to execute and do what he has been brought in to do, he was able to do that. No quarterback that I've seen a recent pass for the Chicago Bears has been able to show that, A, he can keep his composure, and, B, he can execute.
That's a really good point, honestly, the first positive anybody has brought to the table on this show where I go, yes, that's legit. That's legitimately something I can take out of this game and feel good about it. And the thought did occur to me when they made the drive and scored the touchdown to take that lead, because that has been something I've sort of harped on this season. In addition to not being able to start games well, they haven't really been able to close games very well. That Rams game, they got the ball twice in the back half of the fourth quarter with a chance to run out the clock and end the game, and didn't do it, and gave the ball back to Matthew Stafford twice, and the defense had to play hero and win that game again for you with an interception to seal the deal. But he made that drive, and I forgot about it because of the Hail Mary and all the raging I did after the Hail Mary. But when they made that drive, I went, that's huge. That's big right there, that you were able to do something that you haven't been able to do prior, earlier in this season with your rookie quarterback, that he could drive down and win, well, you thought, win that game for you in the final minute, and especially with the way things played out in the third quarters, to not hang his head, to not get discouraged, to keep the faith and the belief in himself and his teammates and the system that they could get down there and do it. That is a positive to pluck out of this thing, despite how it ended. So that's a really good call and a really good point from Wayne in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and Wayne, you're in good company, because in the post-game show, all of them said that the fourth quarter is now Caleb time. So they wanted to say that before discussing the Hail Mary. So you're in good company.
Quick text from Greg at 670 The Score, at Rami is tweeting. That's how you can follow me, Ramie. Is tweeting, a few of you do it, and I'll get over 10,000. No big deal. Just 10,000 Twitter followers at Rami is tweeting, Ramie is tweeting. Greg says, I'll take Caleb over Daniels 8 days a week. Bears played like crap. Better team, didn't win. I will still agree with you on your first point. Take Caleb over Daniels. Yes. Bears played like crap. Yeah. And but when he says better team didn't win, yeah, they did. Like when you look at the 8-week sample size of these two football teams, and I know that Washington is only a game ahead of you in the standings now and the tiebreaker based on the fact that they beat you, but you look at the 8-game sample size of these two football teams and how they've played in across the three units, and the Bears have a better defense, sure, but that offense has performed at a far higher level than what this Bears offense has performed at. They seem to be a much better coach team than what this Bears team is. I honestly can't look at Washington and say the better team didn't win today. All signs point to, yeah, they're the better team through 8 weeks of an NFL season. And that's all that we can go on.
481 yards.
Yes. Yes. And a lot of that on the arm and legs of Jaden Daniels, who threw that game-winning Hail Mary to end the game. Here's a little bit of what he had to say after the play.
What's new? take me through the final play and just what you saw.
None, really. No. Just throw the ball up, get my guys a shot. I didn't see anything.
You see the end of the play?
No, not really. I just heard people screaming in our sideline rushing the field. So that's how I knew.
Jaden, you've been very chill and relaxed since you've been around us for all these months. You had to be. You must have been going crazy.
I was juiced up for sure. I'm excited because, I mean, that's kind of like a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Like, not too many people get to experience stuff like that. That was my first time. So, obviously, I was juiced up the whole stadium, team, sideline, everybody.
In terms of the play, is it just as simple as, hey, everybody go run that way and I'll throw it as far as I can, or is there anything else to this one specifically?
I mean, it's specifics that in detail that we try to coach up, but at the end of the day, it's like everybody runs to a spot, buy some time, and let it fly.
Right. You're feeling it towards the end. We saw, what was it like playing through that injury and being able to make it to the finish line?
It's tough, obviously. Just the area and stuff when you got to throw the ball, got to rotate, stuff like that. You can still feel it, but at the end of the day, man, I started the game. And, you know, I wanted to finish it, so there was nothing else that was going to take me out that game.
Coach said the Friday workout was big for him in terms of seeing what he needed to see from you. What was it you did, and what was it you were trying to show them as you were working towards getting back out there?
Just out myself. That I could go out there on Sunday and be myself. And I think that's kind of what they were looking for, is like, hey, is there any limitation? We don't want to put him out there, and he's not himself.
How much fun was that for you, just coming off the field, the locker room vibe, all the guys in there? I mean, just
It was great for, I mean, the whole city, DMV, not just us, the fan base. Man, without them, I mean, they had the plays rocking. Defense played a hell of a game. Defense is the reason why we won the game, just getting the stops and giving us the ball back. You know, we got to clean some stuff up on the offensive side. Sheesh. we got to clean up some stuff. Penalties, just communication. We won the game, so it's always better on the win.
How you feel after that?
I'm happy that we won, but, I mean, at the end of the day, I know there's a lot that we left out there, a lot that we could continue to get better from and grow.
Terry was saying you guys practice that tip drill quite a bit with that diamond formation. I mean, what goes into it from your standpoint?
Giving them a shot, don't throw the ball out the end zone. So that's my coaching point. Buy some time, put some air on it, give those guys a shot to make a play, and that's what they did.
And at what point during this week, as you were trying to recover from the rib injury, did you feel good enough to really go out there?
Yeah, I mean, that Friday thing was huge. Felt like myself, and then after that, progressively see how I felt Saturday and how I woke up this morning and I felt good.
As you're buying time running around, are you just looking for space, or what's kind of going through your head as you're running in circles?
No, I let the guys get down there and get in kind of like that formation and put some air on the ball and let them go make a play.
Anybody else?
Going
with that play, when you're doing that, like, when do you know it's now's the time? Like, what is, was it just getting them in the right spot? What, how do you know it's time?
I don't think you can tell. It's like a feel thing. So I couldn't answer that question. One of, I know it's like a feel thing. Kind of everybody's over huddled up waiting for the ball. It's kind of like a rebound after, you know, somebody shoots a long three or something like that.
What's going through your mind as you're lining up? Like, what are you trying to tell yourself and just to get ready for that play?
Buy some time and don't throw the ball out of bounds.
How important was that play before to Terry to kind of put you guys into range? And did you realize that you had enough time, I guess, going into that drive right away to run that many plays?
I mean, we had a timeout left. It's like 30-something seconds. Hopefully we could have got a chunk called a timeout. But, I mean, that play before, the Hail Mary was huge to get us a little closer, to get the guys a chance to go make a play.
Jayden, when you're trying to get air under the ball, because that's such – there's only one pass that's like that,
yeah,
that you can throw. So what are the mechanics of getting enough air under the ball but not throwing the ball out of bounds? Because you do have to heave it, but yeah, it has to be in bounds.
I don't know. I just think it's, man, just try to give your guys the opportunity. You know, you kind of feel when you got enough of it, when you mustered it. And I felt like I got enough of it to give my guys a shot to go out there and make a play.
More.
Did anything feel odd today in terms of the movement, ball movement, that was as a result of your injury last week? I mean, or was it, did you feel fine out there?
I felt fine, man. As soon as I stepped on the field, I wasn't even worried about it. Obviously, you get some hits and you kind of feel it, but, man, it was nothing to take me out that game.
Just going back to that play, just the blocking up front. I think Eckler was on a linebacker at one point. Allegretti.
They did a good job of blocking, kind of extending and running around to give me enough time to throw the ball. So,
have you ever, in Little League, high school, college, converted to
LA? High school, I threw one at the end of halftime, but it wasn't to this magnitude.
Was there any talk about going for it on that 4th-and-1 from your own 12?
Nah, it wasn't. I was on the field, so I don't know what DQ and Cliff were talking about, but obviously they made a decision to punt the ball and let our defense play.
It's an aggressive move,
but
do you think, hey,
maybe we should do it? I'm always going for it, but obviously you got to play smart. You don't want to give them a short field. Let them have to draw the length of the field.
There's Jayden Daniels, Commander's rookie quarterback, after pulling off the miracle with the Hail Mary and an 18-15 win over your Chicago Bears. He seemed as surprised by that working as the rest of us were. Like, every question that he got about the Hail Mary, he was like, yeah, man, I don't know. You just kind of throw it up there and hope for the best is kind of what he said.
What did you see in the play? Nothing.
I saw my guys going in that direction, and I threw it up as high and as far as I could, was basically the answer that he gave there. And, man, not to take anything away from Jayden Daniels or from the Commanders for completing that and pulling off the win, the Bears let them.
Yeah.
The Bears let them pull that off. Like, I don't think – now, there is a science to it. Like, Aaron Rodgers throws a great Hail Mary ball. There is an angle you want to get on it. There's a certain amount of air you want to get on it to give your guys a chance to sort of high point it and tip it and everything else. But a Hail Mary, and a texter said this earlier, Hail Mary is called a Hail Mary for a reason. You're throwing up a prayer. That's what you're doing. And when the Bears don't defend, you know, the guy that the ball is going to get tipped to, you give that prayer hope. Like, you breathe life into that prayer and give it a better chance of coming to fruition. And that's exactly what happened. And it starts with Tariq Stevenson. But again, we don't know that he was necessarily the guy that was supposed to be on that back line and defending the guy who's catching the jump ball, per se. Still got an hour to take your calls, your texts at 312-644-6767. You want to talk about this Bears loss and get some stuff off your chest. Maybe you haven't been able to sleep all night. Let us help you with that. And if you want to answer either of the tough questions that I have about this Bears team. How is this offense better than what we've seen recently? And how do you pass teams in the North? When do you pass teams in the North? You can get in on those discussions as well. 312-644-6767. Rami Makhlouf with you for one more hour along with Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass. And the winner of the Cubs for a Cure auction to sit in the co-host chair, Dan Durbin, with me as well. And you in the final hour of Bears Overnights on a Plumbers 911 Football Monday right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.